have one of those days. He was a photographer for a national magazine. He was assigned to get photos of a great fire. Smoke at the scene hampered him, and he asked his home office to hire a plane. Arrangements were made, and he was told to go at once to a nearby airport where the plane would be waiting. And when he arrived at the airport, a plane was warming up near the runway. He jumped in with his equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go, let's go!" The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer, "and make 3 or 4 low-level passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Well, because I'm going to take pictures," cried the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." After a pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Ever have one of those days? Sometimes it seems like in this world, peace is something that's unattainable. But God, this morning we're going to be looking at God's peace and the peace of God. Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. John 14, 25. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Jesus is preparing the disciples here for his death. And in verse 31 he says, "So that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." So he's saying, I'm going to go and do the will of my Father so that everyone in the world will know that I love the Father. You see, our peace in this world can only be found in one place, and that is in Christ. Peace is only found in Christ. We see that Christ gives us an invitation to peace. He wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants us to have an abundant life. He did not plan for you to be weary and weighed down by the problems of this life. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We see that Jesus invites us to come to him because he has made peace with God through the cross. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." There's something that's called the cushion of the sea. Down beneath the surface of the ocean that is agitated with storms and driven about with high winds, there is a part of the sea that is never stirred. And when we dredge the bottom and bring up the remains of animal and vegetable life, we find that they give evidence of having not been disturbed for hundreds of years. The peace of God is that eternal calm which lies far too deep down in the praying soul to be reached by any external disturbance. A.T. Pearson. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We also have grace or unmerited favor in our daily lives and a hope for God's glory. We can be content or even thankful when we experience trouble because the Holy Spirit is working in us to help us become more holy or Christ-like, which will in turn lead to favor from God. Furthermore, we know that we can prevail against all the trouble this world throws at us because Christ who is in us is greater than the world. In John chapter 16, Jesus talks about peace. And he says, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now this is a really odd statement that Jesus would make. He says, God loves you, you love me, and you believe in me. I'm going to the Father, okay? You all are going to be scattered, and you will abandon me, okay? And yet, God will still be with me. The Father is still with me. And I wanted you to tell you this so you could have peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, Christ is the only place that we can really have peace. In this world, we will have trouble. Sometimes we'll have great trouble. Overwhelming trouble. Peter says that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Philippians 4 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, the peace that Christ gives us is not an absence of conflict, but knowledge that the God that we serve, the God who loves us, is greater than all of our problems. And not only that, but he wants us to trust him with our problems. He says, "Trust me. Let me worry about your problems for you, because I love you." Because of this, we can have hope. There's a man named Somerset. He's an English writer. He once wrote a story about a janitor at St. Peter's Church in London. One day, a young worker in the church discovered that the janitor was illiterate, and he fired him. Jobless, the man invested his meager savings into a tiny tobacco shop where he prospered, bought another, expanded, ended up with a whole chain of stores worth several hundred thousand dollars. One day, the man's banker said to him, "You've done well for an illiterate, but just think of where you could be if you knew how to read and write." "Well," replied the man, "I'd be a janitor at St. Peter's Church in Neville Square." When we depend on our own abilities, when we depend on ourselves, we don't amount to much. But when we depend on God, we cast our cares upon him, that gives us the peace that we're looking for. And peace gives us hope. Romans 15 says, "And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In Psalms 27, which I read last week, says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You see, because we have peace with God and we trust him, we can have hope, as the psalmist said, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we can have heart. We don't have to be discouraged. We can wait on God because he will turn things around. But where do we find peace? Or how do we obtain this peace that is found in Christ? We find it in seeking God. We find peace in seeking God. We see in James, it says that self-seeking, or seeking after our own fleshly desires, only leads to confusion. James 3, it says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace." Oh, that's the wrong one. James 3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." That's a pretty big contrast. When we seek in our self-interest, we find confusion and every evil thing. But when we seek God's will, we find peace, gentleness, and every good thing. So how do we seek God? How do we seek God's peace? We see that seeking God leads to peace, but how do we do that? Let me just give you a couple of things. First is prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we already read it. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ." So when we're experiencing trouble in our lives, we can pray. And because God's Word says that he hears us, we know that he hears us, he cares about us, and we can give our problems to him. And if we truly believe that, God himself, the Creator, knows of my problems and is working on them, that can give me peace. It's not up to me, but God will intervene on my behalf. The next thing we do in seeking God is to serve Christ. Romans 14 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by man. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make peace and the things by which one may edify another." So we should be about doing what God has told us. Jesus said that we should love one another, build each other up, and that will create peace in our life. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Another thing that we need to do in order to have God's peace in our life is obey. Obedience. Philippians 4:9 says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We must obey God and do the things he has commanded us to do. And we do all these things because we trust in him. You cannot have peace in your life unless you are trusting in God. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also became my salvation, has become my salvation. My devotions this week, there was a great example of this. The importance of trusting in God and not trusting in ourselves. There was a king, Asa, and this is what after Jerusalem or Israel had been divided into two kingdoms. There was Judah and there was Israel. And Asa was the king of Judah. And the king of Israel at that time was named Baasha. Asa was a good king. He followed God. 2 Chronicles 15, 12 through 15 says, and speaking of Asa and his kingdom, says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord of God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. And that rest lasted for 20 years because Asa honored God. But after 20 years, the bad king, Baasha, he was preparing for war against Judah. And so Asa saw that Baasha was preparing for war, and he sent silver and gold to the king of Syria, and he asked to break his treaty with Baasha and make a treaty with him, and he did. The king of Syria went in and fought and attacked Israel, and they stopped preparing for war against Judah. That sounds like a good king. That sounds like somebody who's concerned about their nation and working hard to protect them. It sounds like a good outcome, too, right? God's people were protected. Let's see what God's response says. 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 9, it says, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? And yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. We must trust in the Lord and wait on him. And I ask you this morning, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in yourself? Your own ability? Are you trusting in the land? Are you trusting in a new tractor? Where is your faith rest? Where does your hope rest? It must be in the Lord. The final thing we must do besides trusting God's word and the things previously mentioned, the last one is we must meditate on God's word. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, what you think about throughout the day, what you allow to enter into your mind and you let replay in your mind, maybe what you listen to on the radio as you drive down the road, it has a big impact on your thoughts. Isaiah says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Psalms 119:165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If you're not having peace in your life, I would suggest start meditating on God's word. Get into the Bible. Start reading it. Meditate on it all day. Turn off the radio. Turn off the oldies. Turn off whatever else you're listening to. Turn on your Bible. Turn on some Christian music that's uplifting and encouraging. Something that's going to teach you to thinking about God throughout the day. And close with this. is an illustration of a man encountered a mean barking dog. And he had a look that said, if I live long enough, sooner or later, I'm going to bite you. As the man's habit was to try to entice the dog to let him pet him, this dog wanted no part of that and became very vicious. So the man came close enough to see his teeth, and I snatched him off his feet. Or the man snatched him off his feet, wrapped my arms completely around him, thus disabling the dog's means of attack. I examined him, and he had a look of distress, almost desperation in his eyes. And it was then that I noticed a huge thorn he had in his front paw. I decided I must remove the thorn at once, and he decided at once I wouldn't. As the battle eventually I won, I put him down, and I imagined my surprise to find that he wasn't near the snarling, mean dog that I had imagined. But because of the miracle of the removal of the thorn, he was now a dancing, prancing, full of love puppy dog who seemingly had no care in the world. Thus is the sin in our lives. It becomes a thorn in our paws, and if we allow it, it will consume our very being. And eventually, we become barking dogs. But Christ says he can remove the sin if we allow it. Many times we fight the cause. Many times we fight the solution. But when it's finally removed, how sweet it is to know his grace. Let us close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Lord, oftentimes we inevitably seek our own destruction. But if we'll keep our eyes on you, if we'll keep seeking after you, obeying, keeping our hearts soft towards you, trusting in you, through prayer and reading the word, Lord, you will give us peace. And it's not a peace that is the absence of tranquility or even a momentary getting rid or ignoring your problems. But Lord, a true peace that we can realize that there's more to this life and that you are in control of it. And we will experience trouble here on this earth. Sometimes we'll experience great trouble. But Lord, we can put our hope in you. We can put our trust in you because you are worthy and you love us so much. Pray all these things in Jesus' name.